Hallelujah. Well, I want you to turn in your Bible for just a moment. I don't want to preach long tonight because I'm here for ministry. I want to share some things about the kingdom of God. And when the power of God hits, I'm just going to make a transition. We're going to move in the word of knowledge and healing and do whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do. But I want you to turn in your Bible for a moment to Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's been speaking to me about how to perceive and recognize the kingdom of God, kingdom signs. Things happen when God's kingdom shows up. And I want to ask the question, what is the kingdom of God? I want to talk about the kingdom. I want to talk about how to see and how to recognize the kingdom of God. I want to talk about kingdom signs. And more than just preach, I want to proclaim that the kingdom of God. I want to make a declaration that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And when Jesus showed up, the first message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near, always near. The kingdom of heaven is coming. And of course, if anybody was there that day, they would, where? I don't see any kingdom. And where is this army? And the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That one would say, see here, or one would say, see there. Kingdom of God does not come with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. And of course, we understand we're talking about an invisible, real kingdom, His realm, His world, His rule, His reign, His dominion. And He had a message, and His message to a world that was lost and dying, largely a religious audience, and His message was this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. How close? At hand. At hand. How close is the kingdom? At hand. In Starbucks, in the pub, in the mall, in the shops, in the restaurant, in the hotel, the kingdom of God is always close. It's near. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Jesus spoke about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't preach a gospel of prosperity, a gospel of healing, a gospel of deliverance. He preached a full gospel, a gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And I love Matthew chapter 6. It gives us such an understanding and revelation of the kingdom. Really, we have a lot we could say about the kingdom of God, but I want to specifically talk about six kingdom signs, how we can perceive and recognize the kingdom of God. But I'm making a declaration and a proclamation tonight that the kingdom of God is going to overrule and overcome the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, sin, sickness, disease, death, and poverty. I'm making an announcement and taking authority, if you would, in the spiritual atmosphere and the spiritual climate that we're here to celebrate the King and His kingdom. We don't just love kingdom teaching and kingdom principles. I mean, some people love kingdom teaching and kingdom principles more than they love Jesus, the King of the kingdom. There is no kingdom without a king. The greatest key to the kingdom of God, if you're really into understanding the kingdom of God, and as much as I do, you love all the books and teaching and, you know, the message that's coming today on the kingdom of God. Let's not forget in the midst of it all that the greater we can worship the king, we're talking about the king's domain, the domain of the king. There is no kingdom without celebrating the presence of Jesus. It really is the greatest key to the kingdom of God. So in our quest and love for the knowledge and understanding of the kingdom, let's remember the presence of the king. Even now, Jesus, right now, the kingdom is here because Jesus is here. If you were going to take down notes tonight and you didn't want to miss the six kingdom signs, that's really the first one right there. Number one, Jesus Himself. You want to recognize and perceive the kingdom of heaven? Jesus Himself. That's what He said in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. There were many in that time that said, well, Jesus, when are you coming to restore the kingdom of Israel? And where is your army? And where are the people of your kingdom? And where's the building, the office? We want to send a letter. We want to show up and be a part of this kingdom.
Jesus, of course, said, my kingdom is not of this world, and neither are you and me. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven now, not just in the future. That means I have a job because he called me an ambassador that I represent. What does it mean to represent the kingdom? It means to represent the kingdom. Represent Jesus. You represent, you represent. In a world of tradition and religion today, in the North American church here, in the Western church, we need to represent Jesus. The kingdom of God is not in mere talking. The kingdom of God is in power. We need to present Jesus in love, presence, and power. We need to represent. We need to be ambassadors of the real world. And when Jesus, everywhere that Jesus went, the message was preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. And healing. Every sickness and every disease. And I asked the Lord one time about why can't I have more miracles? He said, you don't make yourself available. He said, most people never have the power of God or a demonstration of Holy Spirit power. It's not because God won't. It's because they make no room. If we know what we're going to do before we do it, I've never quite understood how I could know what I'm going to preach for 300 days, let alone what I'm going to preach this Sunday. Because I'm following day by day the Spirit of God. Not that God can't show you the end from the beginning. I mean, if you're that anointed and have that much time, you know, to hear God that far in advance. But we can be so programmed about what we do when we do what we call church that we know what we're going to do before we do it, and how many songs we're going to sing, and how the offering and the 3 minutes of announcement, we're going to be done by 12. There's no room for the power of God. We don't even give room to say, come, Holy Spirit, and let's ask for the sick to come forward. You can't get anybody healed if you don't pray for the sick. Most times we that want the power of God just don't have the power of God because we don't make ourselves available for the power of God because we don't go. We don't go. That's why I love what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 10 when he gave them power and authority. In Matthew 10:7, he said, as you go. We want to get you to the impartation. It won't even begin without as you go. As you go, you're preaching. What are you preaching? The same message Jesus preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But in the same breath, in Matthew 10, the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 7th and the 8th verse, he said, as you go, preach. What's the message? The kingdom of heaven. And people today are going to say, well, where is the kingdom? What does it look like? What are the signs of the kingdom? If there's no building, if I don't have any, where, I don't have any army, and there's not an address, and I want to send a letter, and what building do I go to, and I want to be a part of this kingdom? My kingdom is not of this world. What did Jesus say about the kingdom in Luke 17, verse 20? It does not come with observation. You're not going to see it looking for it with physical eyes. You're going to have to perceive it because the kingdom of heaven is within you. What's the first sign of the kingdom? Jesus himself. And what did he say? The message is the kingdom as you go preach. And then he said in the same breath, heal the sick. Heal the sick. I tell every preacher, if you're a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Jesus never called us to be preachers. He didn't give that power to disciples, prophets, teachers, or evangelists. He gave it to disciples. He gave them power and authority to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. He gave them power and authority to cast out devils, and he gave them a command. In fact, he says in the same gospel chapter, Matthew 10, verse 5, Jesus commanded them, saying, command. That was how strong his language was. He called the 12 disciples onto himself, and he gave them power and authority to heal all kinds of sickness and disease, cast out devils, and he commanded them, saying, in Matthew 10, verse 7, as you go, that was the command, go. That's how the power of God begins. Go. I said, Lord, I want people to be healed. He said, well, pray for the sick. I prayed for 1,000 people, and nobody was healed. So I prayed for another 1,000. I just didn't give up. Some of us give up too easy. You know, and the Bible said, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. And I thought, it's the same thing. Preaching, healing, cleansing lepers, raising dead people, and casting out devils. It's the same thing. Jesus said, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. I said, okay, what's my job? Preach the gospel. What's my job? Heal the sick. If there's sick people, heal them. I don't pray about it. I'm commanded to heal the sick. When I come into cities, I know one thing. I might pray, what are you doing, Father? What's the word of the Lord for England? What's the word for this church, for this ministry? What am I preaching tonight, Lord? And show me the ministry. But one thing I don't have to pray about is heal the sick. Cleanse a leper. Well, if there's no lepers, how can I cleanse the lepers? So I told the Lord one time, I said, I got a problem, God. I don't have any lepers in Canada. So I got on an airplane, and I flew to Africa, to Ghana, Africa, Nigeria. And I said to the pastor, you know why I'm here? He said, why are you here? I said, there's no lepers in Canada. I said, do you have lepers in Africa? He said, we got some lepers, but you got to get out in the bush. They're in a leper colony. Nobody goes out there. They're like outcasts. I said, take me there. The pastor said, are you sure? It's contagious. I said, take me there. I said, why do you want to go there? He said, the Bible said, cleanse the leper. Maybe in my zeal, I was 22 years old, I said, I got some lepers to cleanse. So I went out to this leper colony, and the first leper colony I went to, they had 25 lepers in this one room, and they said, the lepers are in there. Did anybody want to go in there with me? The lepers are in there. That's the door. The lepers are in there. And I walked in there, and I saw children. That was the thing most disturbing, you know, was the children, and their noses were gone, and their ears were gone. I'd never seen leprosy, maybe in a movie, but this was real life, stunk like death. I walked in and I thought, Lord, there's the lepers. I don't even know how to start cleansing them. How do you start cleansing the leper? So I walked over and I looked at, you know, one of the moms, and she was missing. They didn't even want to. They have so much shame. They don't look up to make eye contact. Most of them, especially the children, have never had contact with another human being because nobody will touch them. And I went in there, and the first few, I didn't know how to cleanse the lepers. So I thought, well, Lord, I've come to cleanse the lepers, so cleanse the lepers. Lord, I pray you would heal them. And then I just felt a little more bold, like, how are you going to, you're afraid of the disease? I said, I'm not afraid, Lord. He said, well, then get your hands on them. So I thought, well, maybe I can't get them cleansed until I get my hands on them. So I need to, you know, and I put my hands on them. And, you know, the first time I was quite nervous, maybe they was going to jump off their skin, get on my skin. I prayed for every leper in that. I didn't see anybody immediately healed. But when I wanted to leave, they said, we want to be healed, but this Jesus that you know, we want to give our life to Christ. Just one person. And so then I said, does anybody else in this room know that Jesus loves you? Would you like to know the presence of Jesus? Who'd like to be born again? The entire room gave their life to Christ that day. I had authority from that moment on. And we ended up having in India, we prayed for the lepers, and we ended up having testimonies of people with leprosy. But, you know, that's kind of an extreme. I just want you to pray for somebody tonight in the hotel. How can you cleanse the lepers if you don't pray for the lepers? How can you raise the dead if you don't pray for the dead to be raised? How can you heal the sick if you don't pray for the sick to be healed? How can you preach the gospel if you don't go? Most times the power of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's close. It's near. But we have people talking about it, but we don't have any people doing it. And most times, the reason it doesn't happen is because we don't make room for it. If I'm going to preach an hour, I'm going to minister to the sick for an hour. If I'm going to preach for an hour, I'm going to move in the power of God for an hour. I have a conviction in my ministry, and I told my whole team, you're not going to graduate from my internship. You're not going to graduate from my school of ministry. Until you have a testimony. I set some pretty high goals. I said, you know, if you've never had a deaf person get healed, I want you for 6 months. You're going to be in my school. You pray for every deaf person for 6 months until you get one deaf person healed. You pray for every blind person until you get one blind person healed. You pray for every cancer until you get one cancer healed. I said, most times you don't have people getting healed that are deaf, blind, and have cancer because you never make room. Hey, does anybody in the room have cancer? Well, great. I have an opportunity tonight to pray for somebody that has cancer. That means we can have healing. Most times, healing doesn't happen because we make no room for it, because we do church. And I'm going to just encourage you right now, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's the first sign, Jesus himself. There is no kingdom without Jesus. You have Jesus, you have the kingdom. How many of you know we have Jesus tonight? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, I'm going to just read for a moment from Matthew chapter 6 because it's absolutely amazing. This is how Jesus taught the disciples to move in power. He didn't just have a healing school. I do believe in a school of healing. I have a healing school. I love faith principles. I love teaching on the principles of God's word, faith principles. I love teaching on the anointing. But I believe, not just teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, we need to teach and just get people to live in the kingdom. I call it having a kingdom mindset. If we can get people to just think about the kingdom and teach people to live in the supernatural, healings will happen. We don't just teach people to heal and how to heal. We want to teach people how to live in the reality of the presence of God, live in the reality of the supernatural, and have a kingdom mindset and just think this way. And this is what Jesus, when the disciples, you remember, Jesus cast out spirits with the word, raised the dead, all these great miracles. Well, the disciples came to him privately, and they, you know, they wanted to ask him a question. Really, well, here's what they were asking Jesus. How come when you speak as one that has authority? You say the same words as the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but you get results that they don't get. There's a power, a realm of atmosphere, authority, signs, wonders, and healing and miracles that show up, and you say the same things our religious leaders say. What makes you different? Really what they were saying was, what's the secret to power? Where's this power coming from? And they were saying, teach us to pray. Really what they were saying was, we want to pray the way that you're praying to get the results that you get. How many of you want the results Jesus gets? That's what the disciples wanted. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, they weren't looking for the, you know, Catholic prayer or a religious prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer that's become famous, and not to put down the prayer, but we've become more focused on the prayer. There's no power. We've missed some things about the prayer. Jesus was introducing them to the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom, what the kingdom looked like, how to relate to one another in the kingdom. In fact, Matthew, the Beatitudes, is the constitution and the charter of the kingdom of God. In fact, if you just begin to read Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, it's like, you know, if I was a UK citizen, I'd want to know some things about my government. I'd want to know some things about my right. You know, as an American, I have some rights. I'd want to know what my rights were. As a Canadian, I'd want to know some things about my rights, my government, my charter, my constitution, so I could say, that's not right. That's what Jesus was doing. He was saying, hey, there's another world. I want to talk about my world. And he began to speak to them about the kingdom and began to introduce all these ideas about the kingdom of God, like, you know, forgiveness and love. And if your, you know, brother has an offense, and let me tell you what real adultery is, and let me tell you what real murder is. And, you know, so foreign to a religious crowd and audience in the day that was eye for eye, tooth for tooth, the law, you know, and here comes Jesus with love and grace and forgiveness and peace, you know, and blessed are the peacekeepers. And he goes through the Beatitudes, talks about the attitude of a kingdom person. You want to move in power? Don't forget about the attitude. Jesus is introducing a whole new way of not just teaching and belief, but he's teaching on how people of the kingdom relate to one another and the attitude of somebody, the humility of somebody that's in the kingdom. And then the disciples come to him and they go, how do we get the results you get when you pray? How do we get the demons to come out? How do we get the signs and wonders and miracles? Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. And every instant that Jesus was preaching and proclaiming the gospel, he was healing. And I give a challenge to preachers today. I go, where's the healing? Do everything else that you do, the full gospel. If you're anointing and specialty, I'm an evangelist. I understand my specialty and anointing is revival and preaching on healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. And I'm an evangelist. I understand. Do everything else that you do. But if Jesus, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If Jesus is the standard of ministry, if it begins with Jesus and ends with Jesus and it's all about Jesus, where would Jesus go and not do healing? What person did he ever turn away? How many, if Jesus was here, how perfect would he be in faith, anointing? In fact, I believe the greatest hindrance to the anointing today is we can't be enough like Jesus. If Jesus, in every miracle that he did as a man. Really, he didn't cheat. I'm not saying he wasn't God, but he didn't cheat. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Went about doing good. How was he anointed? Holy Ghost and power. He was 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you and me. When I think about the potential that we have as believers, that's the whole revelation of the fullness of God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the potential we have as believers. You know, it's amazing if we could just learn how to surrender like Jesus. Not my will be done, your will be done. It comes down to surrender and obedience. If you could be perfect in obedience, you would see the power of God. But who's perfect in obedience but Jesus? You know why we're not perfect in obedience? Because it hurts. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. It's the burning, the tests, the hardships, the trial. You know, most of us, to walk through that fire, and we fail in our character, we fail in our lifestyle, we fail in our thinking, the opportunity for failure. Thank God for grace. But that's why I love grace. And I love grace. Hallelujah for grace. But I love Jesus. Because I love Jesus, if you love me, obey my commands. My obedience is based on I'm a love slave. Not duty. Not trying to be holy. I'm holy because I won't get any holier than what Jesus did already. But because of love, that's what I want to be obedient, love. If you love me, obey my commands. It's all about love. And the more I'm in love with Jesus, the more I want to be like Jesus. We know that. But look at Matthew chapter 6. In reading in verse 8, he said, "Do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray." I'm going to teach you how to pray and get results. Ready? "In this manner, therefore, pray." Here's how you pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our Father. What a foreign idea to a largely religious Jewish audience. We're talking about Jehovah, Yahweh, Holy God, God of the universe. This would be the first time for many of the audience to refer to God in such an intimate way. Our Father, my Father, Abba Father. That many would struggle even this day with our Father, Abba Father, Daddy Daddy. It just doesn't sound right when we're talking about a holy God. And here's Jesus referring for the first time, putting God on an intimate. It all begins with a call to relationship. The kingdom of God doesn't even begin to come in power until you can get down, our Father, my Father, and know God as a Father. And it all comes back to intimacy. It's a whole message in itself. He said, first thing, our Father. Second thing is there is no kingdom without atmosphere. The kingdom of God comes in worship. We enter into his courts with thanksgiving into our hearts. We enter into his courts with praise. We know that the presence of God comes in worship. We know how worship brings the glory. We're talking about preparing an atmosphere for the kingdom because God inhabits the praises of his people. When there's praise, God comes down and dwells in praise. The atmosphere comes in song, in worship, in thanksgiving. The atmosphere of the very kingdom of heaven always comes in song and praise. That's what Jesus is saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means this: you are holy and enthroned. The throne of God comes in the praises of Israel. That's the word. You are holy and enthroned. How do you enthrone God? In praise. And then God inhabits. That means when we worship, the kingdom comes. Now we have a kingdom atmosphere. Once we have a kingdom atmosphere, you can pray the next part of the prayer. What's the next part of the prayer? It's really my message tonight. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're saying. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The will of God. The kingdom of God will only manifest in our lives to the extent that we can be obedient to the kingdom of God. It all comes back to obedience and surrender. Your will be done. There is no kingdom of God without the will of God. Your will be done, not my will. I've come to do your will, O God, not my will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to ask you a question. What is the kingdom of God? Let me give it to you in a nutshell. I want to give you a kingdom definition. Ready? What is the kingdom of God? Simple. Ready? As it is in heaven. There it is. What is the kingdom of God? What am I talking about? As it is in heaven. Not in the future, now. Now. Heaven now. We know this. The kingdom of heaven. What is the will of God? Jesus said, when you pray, here's how I want you to pray. I'll tell you what the will of God is. Pray the will of God. Here's the will of God. Your kingdom come. He wouldn't have them pray if God didn't want them to pray that way. Now, you know what else that tells me? One, it's not on the earth as it is in heaven. He wouldn't have them pray your kingdom come if we had heaven on earth. So one, Jesus recognized it's not heaven on earth. Look around. Read the newspaper. Turn on the television. Go to your neighborhood. It's not as it is in heaven. If you were in heaven right now, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, no disease. And if it seems like I'm angry at you, I'm not. I'm just passionate and excited. Passionate and excited. This is one of the easiest audiences to preach to. You're just pulling it out of me. Some of you are thinking, I wish that preacher would stop talking and pray for me. I'm just about there. I just don't want any of my critics to say I didn't give them the word of God. You know why I love preaching on the kingdom of God? Because the more I preach on it, as I'm preaching, I get revelation. I want it to be deep inside of me. And the deeper it gets inside of me, every time I talk about the kingdom of God, the greater the revelation. My faith and power just rises. And I'm preaching to demonic powers into the realm of darkness right now. Devil doesn't like this message. Jesus said, when you pray, I'm going to tell you how to pray. You want to move in the... Here's how you get to the results that I get. He was bringing them to power. He said, you want the power of God, your focus needs to be on the kingdom, not on moving in gifts. We got to move beyond just gifts and anointings. We got to move to become the kingdom of God. Here's what he said. When you pray, pray, your kingdom come. One, it's not on earth as it is in heaven. The fact that he said, when you pray, your kingdom come, means it can be on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wouldn't have you pray something that wasn't possible. Jesus would not have you pray something that wasn't possible. He said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come. I want you to pray that it would be God's world, God's atmosphere, God's dominion, God's rule, God's reign. But in order for you to understand the kingdom, you must truly understand what it would be like if you were in heaven. What would you expect to see? What would you expect to see if this was the kingdom of God? No sorrow, no sickness, no disease, no death, no pain, no poverty. So why should we accept it here? If you're talking about the kingdom of God and being in another kingdom, it doesn't matter what your government is doing or saying or not doing. Obey the laws of the land. But accept that there's a greater heaven's economy, a greater realm, a greater authority, a greater world. We know this. But as citizens of the kingdom of heaven now, maybe you're waiting for the rapture of the future, but I'm having heaven now. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's no reason I can't have what heaven looks like. So I declared my ministry and church cancer-free zone. Cancers come into my building. They don't exist in my world because I don't accept them. Because if I accept them, heaven accepts them. Heaven doesn't accept cancer. Heaven doesn't accept poverty. Heaven doesn't accept sickness. Heaven does not accept bondage and disease. Heaven does not accept. And if we're praying your kingdom come, Jesus wouldn't have you pray something that wasn't possible. These things are in direct opposition of the kingdom of God. And there is a conflict, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There's a warfare in the kingdom. And we're making an announcement the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God won't have us proclaim something that he's not ready to back up. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. The kingdom of God is not mere talking, but power. The Holy Spirit brings the power. These signs will follow them who believe. I'm prepared to back up the message that's kingdom. Hallelujah. We just got to dare to believe God. It's not heaven on earth, but it can be. Jesus wouldn't have you pray something that wasn't possible. What is the kingdom of God? As it is in heaven. I'm talking about how to see and how to perceive and how to recognize the kingdom of God. I'm giving you six signs. Number one, Jesus himself. Number two, the message of the kingdom. What is the message of the kingdom? I said it already. As you go, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. In every context that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, more than 20 times that phrase is used. 20 times by Jesus and the disciples in the book of Acts and the gospel. 20 times the phrase is used. Paul was teaching them the gospel of the kingdom. Peter was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Philip was teaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing in every context, healing every sickness and every disease. What is the second sign of the kingdom of God? How do you know the kingdom of God is coming? How do you see it? It's the message that we proclaim. When John came in Matthew 11 and he said to, you know, or when Jesus' disciples, they were approached by John who was in prison. He was in prison and his disciples came to Jesus and they said, is Jesus Christ the one or do we expect another? Jesus responded, he said, you go back to the prison and you tell John the things that you both hear and see. You tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, you know, and he said, you tell him the dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to him. That's the kingdom of God. What's the third sign of the kingdom of God? It's simple this. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, Luke 11, verse 20. How do we know the kingdom of God is in our midst? What happens when the kingdom comes? If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. You can't have the kingdom of God without devils being cast out. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. What's a sign that the kingdom is present? Casting out devils. What's another sign that the kingdom is present? It's found in John chapter 3. You must be born again. People tell me they have the kingdom of God. They're preaching the kingdom of God. First thing that I look for, deliverance. First thing that I look for, healing. First thing that I look for is the level of the presence and the anointing of God. I look for Jesus. What's another sign of the kingdom in your midst? You must be born again. Born again to see, born again to perceive, born again to understand, recognize, and receive the kingdom of God. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not only to see the kingdom of God, what did he say in the next breath? You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom of God has to do with your eternal salvation. Seeing the kingdom of God has to do with, I've come that you might be born again that you can see now. I want you to perceive and experience and see the kingdom now. And one day you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. But being born again is so that you can be spiritual and you can see. You can recognize the signs of the kingdom. What's another sign of the kingdom? Salvation. People getting saved. Lives being transformed by the power of God. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Third sign of the kingdom of God, Jesus himself. Fourth sign of the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom. The fifth sign of the kingdom of God, miracles. In fact, I said it already, but let me say it again in Luke chapter 9. It doesn't get any clearer this. I just want you to turn. I'm nearly done, but I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9 for a moment. We're ready to demonstrate the kingdom. Look at Luke chapter 9 says, in verse 1, when Jesus called his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority over demons and to cure disease, it says in verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. That's what I'm doing tonight. People go, he's a false prophet. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. He said, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Why is it that we have preachers preaching the kingdom of God? How many sermons on Sundays? Where's the healing? How come we have people preaching the kingdom of God and nobody healing the sick? It's not that you can't. Some just don't believe that they can, maybe. Maybe the gifts passed away 2,000 years ago. But for most of us, it's not a matter of that we really don't believe. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe. Most of us just don't make room. We don't make opportunity. We don't dare to step out and believe God that if we're going to ask for healing like I'm going to in the next couple minutes, that when I say, Holy Spirit, come, your kingdom come, that people are going to get touched. See, that takes risk. Faith, spelt R-I-S-K. I know the, you know, British people tend to be a little quieter and a little more polite as they're stepping on your toe. That's what one pastor told me. He said, you know, the English tend to be, you know, polite, you know, as they're stepping on your toe, kind of. Lord, give us boldness in our own way. Boldness doesn't look like me, but I'm not boldness. I'm bold, but God moves in your personality. You don't have to shout. I like to shout. If I wasn't a Christian preacher, I'd be shouting. I didn't just learn to shout because I became Pentecostal. People asked me one time, I was preaching with a worship leader, and you know, Kevin Prosh, and he loved my ministry. He said, you know, Todd, I traveled with John Wimber, and I was a part of the, you know, an explosive move of God in the 80s. And I loved the way John Wimber would pray for the sick and ask for the kingdom of God, and people would get healed. And he goes, you know, I love how you do it too, because it's you got the same message, and you love evangelism. And all. He goes, but one thing that just, I don't understand it. I just, where'd you learn the, you know, the language or the accent that you have? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, that Pentecostal duh, duh, and God, God, you got that, you know, how many of those preachers did you watch on TV? And I said, never. I was with another worship leader, his name was David Ruiz, and he said to me, he said, where did you learn to preach like a Pentecostal? I said, I never learned to preach like a Pentecostal. I said, when the Holy Spirit came upon me, this is just what came out. I'm not copying anybody. If anybody's copying anybody, they're copying me. This is my style, and it's unique to me. You can't take credit for it. I got the Holy Ghost. I said, maybe it's my personality. So don't try to change and be anything that you're not. But we got to break out of the reserved box. And that means we're going to have to just push a little bit more. And for most of us that really want the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders, it's just a matter of being bold. It's not, I'm here to tell you about your skepticism and your unbelief. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I don't feel doubt in the room. If you got some, I don't feel it. Maybe that's between you and God. But I'm not here to try to convince the skeptic. I didn't come to convince the skeptic. I came to preach the kingdom of God. If you're a skeptic, that's between you and God. My faith is fine. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, you know, I was talking about miracles, and they put it on my, you know, on the internet, on a page. They said, show me the evidence. Don't believe him. Don't be deceived. Make him show you the evidence. And I said, I've already had the evidence, showed the evidence, and no matter how much evidence there is, if people are going to believe or not going to believe, they're going to believe or not believe. It doesn't matter how many medical confirmed miracles you have. It doesn't matter how many times you get up and go, four doctors verified this. Well, show me the evidence. You show them the evidence. Well, how do I know that was real? We had 22 investigations done by two medical doctors. 22 resuscitation or actually resurrection stories. We had 33 testimonies of claims of people raised from the dead, and 22 of them were investigated by two independent medical doctors because they wanted to see if the miracles were real or not. So two medical doctors, individual from one another, went and investigated 22 of the 33 claims. And came back that 20 cases, they couldn't call them resurrections because in the medical world, they don't have a term for resurrections. They call them resuscitations. The medical doctors came back and they found that out of their studies, 20 claims of 33 stories of people raised from the dead, that out of 22 investigations, 20 of them came back and all they could say was they're miraculous resuscitations. Come on, give God thanks for that. People said to me, you know, we've had over 35 testimonies of people raised from the dead in our ministry. And people asked us, well, how did it happen? I said, well, the Bible said cleanse the lepers. I didn't have any lepers, you know, to pray for in Canada. So I got on an airplane and went to Africa. I said, maybe it'll work the same way if I put up a tent when I preach in Africa. You know, people have a tent for deliverance so they can bring the demonized. I said, well, I'm not going to have a tent for deliverance, but I'm going to have a tent and they can put the demons in there. But if anybody dies while I'm preaching in their city, I said, you know, things are different in Africa. I'm not going to get arrested. You know, you can bring them to the meeting and at least give me a chance to pray for them before you have the autopsy or call the guy that comes and carts them away, you know, and we'll pray for them. So I put up a tent and a big sign in my meetings, put it in the newspapers, on the TV, on the radio in Africa, and I put a big sign up and I said, raising the dead. And I would get up on the platform and making an announcement to 100,000, sometimes 200,000 people. I'd get on the microphone. I'd go, I come to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. Oh, and the Bible says raise the dead. So if anybody dies while I'm in your city, at least give me a chance to pray, have some faith, and bring them to the meeting. And I have a tent over here in case they stink that you can put them in this tent. And I have a team of people. And I was dead serious. I wasn't playing around. I said, my team will come down in the tent and we'll pray for them. If nothing happens, then bury them. That's a real stretch for most of you here tonight, but that's how I started raising the dead. That was how I learned. I said, God, I'm going to make a demand on heaven, and I'm going to pray for 1,000 people, and someday somebody's going to get raised from the dead. Because I said to Jesus, I don't know if you pray this way, I don't know if you pray, but I said, Jesus, I ain't coming to heaven without at least knowing one person got raised from the dead, because if I don't have one resurrection in my ministry, then I'm not preaching the full gospel. Oh, and I did the same thing when I said, God, I'm not coming to heaven until somebody that's deaf gets their hearing, because I'm not preaching the full gospel if the deaf don't hear, because that was a sign in your ministry, and the lame walked, and the blind saw. So I started putting these challenges out, and then, you know, the Lord would say, well, you know, you can't have the blind see if you don't pray for the blind. I said, God, I'm afraid to pray for the blind. I'll pray for somebody that has a pain in their wrist, but I'm not praying for the blind. I said, that takes faith. As if praying for, you know, somebody that has a pain in their wrist is any different than praying for the blind. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devil. It was the same thing, you know. Jesus didn't separate it into categories of hardness. It's one faith and anointing to preach the gospel, but it's going to take a little bit more faith and power to heal the sick, and then it's going to take a little bit more faith and power to cleanse the leper, and then it's going to be ultimately harder to cast out demons, and then, whoa, you really need to be an apostle to raise the dead. In fact, he said in the same breath, preach the gospel. And it's the same as heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast the devils. If you can cast the devils, you can preach the gospel. If you can preach the gospel, you can heal the sick. If you can heal the sick and cleanse the leper, if you can cleanse the leper, you can preach the gospel. If you can preach the gospel, you can heal the sick. If you can heal the sick and cleanse the leper, if you can raise the dead, you can heal the sick. If you can heal the sick, you can cast out demons. It's the same thing. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Commanded them. And I said, well, if I, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I said, what would Jesus do? I'm in Africa and I got 100,000 people and I don't know what Jesus would do. I know what Jesus would do. Heal the sick. Well, how can I heal the sick if I don't pray for the sick? And I said, God, how can I have the blind see if I don't pray for the blind? So I started giving altar calls in my meetings. I only want to pray for somebody if you're totally blind. And nobody would get healed. I only want to pray for somebody if they're totally deaf. And the deaf would come and I'd pray for the deaf and the deaf wouldn't hear. And so what would I do? Give up? No, pray for the deaf. Pray for 100 deaf people. Got one. Then I had authority. I was in a meeting one time and I thought, how many deaf people? I just was wanted the challenge to see what God would do. I said, if it comes down to numbers, if I had 2 deaf people in this meeting tonight in England, I might have one get healed. 50-50. I started working like that in my head with God. I said, well, if I had 10 deaf people in this meeting, the chances of me having 2 or 3 deaf would be pretty good. I said, well, if I'm in a meeting in Africa and I've got 150,000 people, there's probably a pretty good chance there might be 100 deaf people. That means I could have 25. Now, that sounds pretty good when you tell people you're in a meeting and 25 deaf people got healed. You see, there's if you got honest about it as Christians, most Christians, if you maybe you've been saved for a while, you know, 20 years, I meet Christians all the time, especially Christians in church. They go, I've never been in a meeting where somebody deaf from birth that had absolutely no hearing was ever healed. I know it's possible, but come to think of it, I've never been in a meeting where I saw that on a regular Sunday morning. And I'm a preacher. Boy, that ought to convict us. That ought to challenge us. I meet people in church all the time, and I interview them. I go, how many blind eyes have you seen open? None. How many cripples have you seen walk? You know, if somebody says 1 or 2, I'm like, wow, praise God. But if we always got honest about it and we examined our Christianity, not only are we not seeing it, but if we examine the church we go to, we don't see it on Sunday as a regular part of Jesus. The preaching's regular, the offering's regular, the worship's regular. Why isn't healing regular? Am I the only one that thinks this way? Why was, you know, Paul concerned about the kingdom of God not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power? Why aren't we as concerned about the demonstration as we are the preaching? Why aren't we as concerned? Because we're afraid. Or we're just too busy. Or we just think, well, that's for the evangelist. That's not for me. These are the reasons. But if we really did make room, and every Sunday we said, I'm going to pray for the sick, and if you prayed for 1,000 and nobody was healed in your church, and you just kept calling the sick forward every Sunday and making room for the power of God, it would start showing up in your churches. It would start showing up in your ministry. Whether you're anointed as an evangelist, an apostle, it doesn't matter. If you made room for the kingdom would come. And so when I went over into these meetings, I wonder how far this could go. And, of course, this was the story that the press wanted to go with here in England. It was the resurrection stories. And then, of course, this one. I was in Africa, and they said, well, you know, there's a few deaf people here tonight. And I said, well, that's not enough. I said, what would happen if I bought buses Is there anybody in the city that knows where a deaf school is? It would be great if I had an entire school. I'd just like a chance to, you know, practice cleansing the or opening deaf ears. I said, why don't you go out and I'll buy the buses. And I was in India, and we arranged to have buses go out and arranged to bring schools for the deaf. And they ended up bringing, I don't know how many hundreds. They're all in their little blue uniforms, you know. They line them up on the platform, and we prayed till 11 o'clock at night for deaf ears to be opened. By the time we were done, we recorded 139 deaf mutes from birth that never heard and never spoke in one single crusade meeting. That's when I said to the Lord, it's not a matter of the deaf don't hear. Many times it's just a matter of there's not enough deaf people to pray for. I don't know if you think this way, but I get depressed when I show up for a meeting and I don't walk in and see some people that are sick. Yeah. I've had some meetings lately in the last 6 months where I run out of sick people to pray for. And I'm like, God, I just wish there was a few more. Because I want the opportunity. Power of God demands opportunity. And if you don't have it, make it. And so, I'm going to bring it to a close. I told you I would give you six kingdom signs. What's the fifth kingdom sign? It's right here in Luke chapter 9, verse 2. What is it? Heal the sick, miracles. Jesus said it again in verse 6. So the disciples departed. They went into every town, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What were they doing? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What are we going to do tonight and tomorrow night? Preach the gospel and heal. In every city, whatever. And here's Jesus said it one more time in verse 11. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them, and he spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God, and healed all those that had need of healing. He spoke to them, like I am tonight, about the kingdom of God, and then what? Brought healing to those that had healing. Is Jesus the same today? He's going to bring healing to those that need healing, because I spoke to you tonight about the kingdom of God. So the fifth sign is healing and miracles. What's the sixth sign of the kingdom? Here it is, simple this. This is why I'm going to pray for impartation, because if we're really having the kingdom of God show up, you'll see the people and the character of the kingdom of God manifest in love and power through the body of Christ. You want to know if it's a real sign of revival? A real sign of revival is the impartation. The real sign of revival is the people that take it with them. The real sign of revival is how many people are being raised up. The real sign of revival is Paul had Timothy. The real sign of revival is Elisha had Elijah. The real sign of revival is choose seven men full of faith and power. It was about giving it away. The real sign of revival is the Holy Spirit breaking into a place and ordinary men and women, people of the kingdom, receiving a manifestation of Jesus Christ in character and power and doing the same works. That's why Jesus said, he who believes in me will do the works that I do and greater. And that's why he called the 12 disciples onto himself. And he said, listen, I'm one man. But the multitudes, he said, the harvest is few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, because there's a harvest, but the laborers are few, and all I have is 12. But then there was 120. There was 70, and then there was 120, and then there was you and me. Real sign of the kingdom is an impartation. When the people have the character, the manifestation of God's love and power, and the people of the kingdom of God receive the revelation of the fact that the kingdom is within them, and they begin to do kingdom works themselves, and it becomes a contagious message. It's no longer about the man of God in the pulpit, but it's about team. It's about a revival that's coming to the saints. It's about a revival that's coming to the body of Christ. That's why I gave you a command and a charge. And I said, just like I said to the church in Wales, I said, I want to make the church in England jealous. And I want to say, if the church in Wales got into the streets and took the power of God everywhere they went, then how about you? Hallelujah. We need to have a release of the presence and the kingdom of God that's within you. And it has to be carried out of you to the marketplace. Amen. I want to pray for that more than... Even before I pray for healing, I want to pray for those that are willing to say yes to the challenge to be a vessel of God's power. Yes to the challenge to be activated, mobilized, harvester, power evangelism, to take it, to go into the world, to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and heal the sick. Preach the gospel everywhere you go. Heal everywhere that you go. How many of you want to be ambassadors, and you want to represent and represent Jesus in love, character, and power? You want to see a reformation in the church in England. Hallelujah. You know, my wife had a dream, and she said, Todd, you know the dream is that I had? She said, She said, what's the dream? I said to my wife, I said, I'm preaching in Wales. I said, you said you had a dream last night. I said, what was the dream? She says, I had a dream that the whole church of England showed up. Do you remember? What else did you say? Is that what you said to me? That the whole Church of England should. I said, honey, I'm preaching in Wales. And I go, I know that you're in Wales. But she goes, I really think that it's in England. I said, but baby, I'm in Wales. Seven Nights of Fire. I've come to start a revival. It's the UK. And that's my message, because I want to be about the Jesus to the region, not just one particular city, church, or ministry. I'm not here to preach to one particular church or ministry. I'm not here to preach to one particular city. I'm here to preach to the nation. It doesn't matter what part of the nation I'm in. I'll come back. I'm going to be in 5-6 different venues in England. I'm going to be in 5-6 different venues in Wales, Scotland, Ireland, everywhere, because I have a message for the nation. You know, when Jesus had a message for the church, you know who the message was for? The church in Ephesus. There might have been 1,000 churches. You know, I know some cities today that have literally hundreds of churches, but it's to the church in Ephesus. Jesus always speaks to the region. Jesus always speaks to the church, never just to the individual body, 50 people that meet on Sunday. It's never just for the ministry. I never just come for one ministry. I come for the region. I come for the city. I come for the nation. Hallelujah. And here I am preaching in Wales, and my wife said, you know, I believe it's going to happen in Wales, Todd, but I had a dream last night, and she said, in my dream, the whole Church of England showed up. I said, I don't know what that means, but, you know, I know that the Church of England, you know, represents in some cases, not in all, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little religion. Maybe just a little tradition. But is God going to move in that? Yes, he is. He's going to move in power where we have a form of godliness. That's where the power of God's coming. Where you see a form of godliness, tradition, they might be the ones that get hit the hardest by the power of God. So don't pass them over and go, well, you know, thank God I'm free and you're not. I want you to have faith. Jesus said to the Pharisees, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. People that are trapped in religion and tradition, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. I don't like this whole, well, you got a religious spirit. You know, we write things off all the time as a religious spirit. I believe in a religious spirit, but I'm not quick to pin it on the excuse on why I'm not moving in the power of God. I believe that the reason we're not moving in the power of God in England isn't a matter of just the religious spirit. Yes, it's strong. So was the Pharisees and Sadducees. But Jesus overcame that, didn't he? How did he overcome it? By the open heaven that he brought with him everywhere that he went. Hallelujah. I'm not limited by the spirit and the atmosphere that's in the room here tonight or in the nation here tonight. I've come with an open heaven. If you don't have one, I brought mine. That was Jesus. He showed up in cities and he said, man, there's a religious spirit here. Synagogue and Pharisees trying to kill me all the time. Sadducees. I just got a few protesters every once in a while. Maybe once in a while a couple hecklers or something that want to stand up in my meetings and yell something. I said, you know, Jesus had it much harder than I did. They were trying to kill him and stone him everywhere he went. I said, hallelujah. Nobody tried to stone me yet. Tried to kill me a few times, but I made it out of that. Stand up if you want to be an ambassador. Represent Jesus. Tonight's a commissioning. You know that? Tonight and tomorrow night. Impartation, healing, miracles. But before I pray for the sick tonight and begin to have an impartation service, I want you to begin to say, Lord, I am ready. I want to be an ambassador. I'm excited about the kingdom of God. I want to be a vessel of presence and power, love, character. I want to be a vessel of glory, anointing, and healing everywhere that I go. Oh, God, I just thank you, Lord, that I have an open heaven and I'm going to bring it with me. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, right now, anoint me. Give me a fresh anointing. Give me a fresh fire to represent your kingdom in power, Jesus, to represent your kingdom in power and signs and wonders. And you just repent if you felt touched and convicted in the message tonight and you thought, wow, Lord, you're speaking to me about something. Just repent quickly. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to say, Lord, forgive me, and realize that you need to make a change in your thinking and say, well, that's it, God. From this moment forward, I'm making a change in my thinking. I'm making a change in my mindset. And I just realized today that I need to have a greater value, a greater love and honor for the power of God, just as I do the word and presence of God, just as I do the preaching of the gospel and all those other things. God, I need to make room for your power in my life. I need to make room for it in my church. I need to make room for it in my ministry. I'm not going to have a time that moves forward from this day forward, God, that I'm not going to say, come, Holy Spirit, and touch your people, heal your people. I'm going to make room for it, and I'm going to see it come, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come in my life. I want you to pray for it. Come on, church, you know how to lift up your voice and just take a moment praying for the kingdom of God, praying for the kingdom of God in your life, in your church, in your ministry, in this place right now, that you want his kingdom. You want his kingdom. Hallelujah. You didn't just come to see it. You didn't just come to be a spectator tonight and watch people get touched and healed. You came to say, Lord, I want an impartation. Hallelujah. I want an impartation. Lord, activate your people tonight. You know what? This is exciting stuff we're talking about. If religion is boring to you, you need to have revival. Because to me, It's exciting. It's an adventure. I wake up every day and I go, God, this is what I get to do every day. Preach the gospel and heal the sick. Hallelujah. Some people go, God, I want to be a missionary, but don't send me to Africa. I wake up every day going, God, send me to the jungles of Congo. Send me to Rwanda. Send me to Ethiopia. Send me to Haiti, God. Send me to the darkest places where nobody wants to go. Send me to the jungles of Mexico. Been to all those places. You know why I get excited about going into those places? Because the darker it gets, the greater the power of God. Do you really believe that? You go into the ghetto, you go into the slums. I'm not afraid of the ghetto. I'm not afraid of the slums. That's where the power of God comes the most. When the desperate show up. When we were in Korea, I want to end it with this testimony. They were so desperate for the power of God that when I showed up at church, just like tonight, I showed up at church and the ambulances were parked up outside. And I said, God, there's ambulances coming to my meetings. Praise God. You know, others would go, oh, no, the ambulances are coming. What are we going to do? I said, the ambulances are coming. That means opportunity. They were bringing them in on stretchers and setting up intensive care units at the altar. People would come right down on a stretcher with their IV in their arm and their nurse, you know, attending them with the morphine or whatever because they were dying. They brought in one man. He came in the ambulance, and he had a blood disease. It was a rare blood disease. He was days away from death. I don't know, maybe weeks. But his blood disease had taken such a toll now that all of his organs began to shut down, and the doctors put him in hospice care, and they said, you're not going to recover. You're going to die. You have one of the most rarest blood disorders. I don't know how to pronounce the name of whatever it was, but they said, you're not going to live. It's incurable. It's terminal. And the man had wasted away to where he had days or weeks left, and rather than just die in the hospital, he said, well, I'm going to try one of those healing meetings. You know why? And here's what you tell the sick, people that don't believe in healing and don't believe in coming to the church meetings. I just tell them this. You have nothing to lose but your sickness. Maybe you lost. I went to that meeting for 2 hours, got prayer, nothing happened. You're going to sit in the waiting room at some doctor's office or try to get healed with some kind of herbal and spend all that money, wait in the emergency room at the hospital. Give me 2 hours. That's all you got to tell your family, friends, people that are sick. Just give me 2 hours. I'll buy you a dinner. And if nothing happens, you can call God a liar and make fun of me and whatever you want to do. But just give me 2 hours. Because most times, getting people healed is just you get them into the atmosphere. You get them into the atmosphere where miracles are happening. And they brought this man into the atmosphere, and they wheeled him down to the front in a wheelchair. They took him off his stretcher, put him in a wheelchair, wheeled him down. Prayed for him. Nothing happened visibly. Nobody ever said miracles were instant. This is where the church loses their healing. If it doesn't happen like some magic wand, God didn't heal you. But as they went, they were cleansed, the 10 lepers, as they went. And this man came down, I prayed for him, and the power of God touched him. He wasn't discouraged. He believed he received, even though there was no change. They carried him back out to the ambulance. He's in the ambulance. They're bringing him back to the hospital. That's pretty discouraging. He just came from the healing meeting, and you're now in the ambulance going back to the hospital to die. He was in the ambulance with the paramedics, and a white light came into the ambulance. He said he saw a flash like a white tunnel. He went into this white light. Everything filled up with white light. He had warmth and electricity go through his body, and he was healed on his deathbed on the stretcher in the ambulance in front of the paramedics. That just happened. That's the kingdom of God. That's the Jesus we serve. That's what's going to bring revival to England. Bringing a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. That's the only thing that's going to break through the darkness right now. Because religion and debate and arguing the king isn't going to get it done. People are tired of theology, and they're saying this. What makes Jesus different than any other religion? We have choices in this nation. You know, everybody's fighting for their religion now. Everything's about religion now and equal faith and same faith. And, you know, we know it. The only thing that's going to make Jesus different is he's the only one that's risen from the dead. And you're witnesses. Witnesses of the resurrection. That means you give evidence. Because preaching that Jesus is risen from the dead is not what our call is. Our call is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and heal. The world needs healing. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you right now. Just go ahead. If you need healing and you're in the room right now, we're going to begin to pray for the sick. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite people to get touched first, meaning I'm going to invite the presence of God. I'm going to pray for healing. We're going to release the kingdom of God. And some of you are going to begin to feel the anointing. And God's going to begin to minister to you right where you are in your seats. You might feel fire, burning, heat, electricity, a zap, something. Maybe nothing at all. The pain will just leave. But I'm going to pray right now that just heaven would manifest. We're going to pray, God, your kingdom come. And we're going to welcome as it is in heaven. And it's going to be as it is in heaven here tonight. And we're going to declare right now to every demonic presence and power, every demon of infirmity, every demon of sickness, every devil of disease, we're going to say right now, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you have no authority. Spirit of death, spirit of cancer, you have no authority. Spirit of infirmity right now, spirit of affliction, torment, epileptic seizures, I just command every demonic presence and every demonic spirit right now to bow to the kingdom of heaven, to bow to the name of Jesus right now. And Lord, I'm going to pray for your kingdom to come, that it would be as it is in heaven, in this meeting tonight, Lord. And that means if it is as it is in heaven, God, there's no room for disease, sickness, bondage. There's no room for those that are tormented. There's no room for those that have migraine, that suffer with chronic migraine headaches for more than 18 years, Lord. They've suffered in their sleep with insomnia and sleep disorders. There's no room for those that suffer with a spirit of nervousness and fear, compulsive disorders, oh God. There's no room for those that suffer with mental anguish and torment and schizophrenia and bipolar. There's no room for those tonight in my meeting, Lord. I take authority in the name of Jesus over every demonic spirit and power. I command every demonic spirit and power of infirmity. I command every demonic spirit and power of affliction. I command every demonic spirit and power of death and cancer and epilepsy and every spirit of madness and insanity right now. Every torment in the night, chronic migraine, headache, sleep disorder, and insomnia is moving in the room in a realm of deliverance and healing right now. And I just command the terror that comes in the night and the spirit of torment and fear, I command that to break off right now in the name of Jesus. I command there to be a release in this room from every demonic oppression of the mind, chronic migraine headaches. I command the spirit of witchcraft and control that comes upon your thinking to break mental anguish in the name of Jesus. Let every demonic presence and power and oppression right now be pushed back. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let it come, Lord.
I love you.